relapsing. I'm just going to share a couple of things out of the big book, because last week we went through step one, and step one was really important to understand of why do we keep relapsing? Why do we keep picking the drink up? What justifies that next drink? And I'm not going to go into a long-winded step one, but all I know is if I've got no defense against the first drink, I'm going to keep repeating that. I'm going to keep relapsing. I'm going to keep drinking. I'm going to keep beating myself up. I'm going to keep affecting other people's lives. And I'm not going to get sober. I'm not going to live a life that I wanted to live or I think I deserve to live. So I'm just going to read a couple of things out of the big book. And I'm going to read a little bit from Bill's story. Bill was one of the co-founders that started AA. And Bill went through some depths of depression, and he couldn't get sober for 7 years. For 7 years, he beat himself up trying to get sober, trying to put the next drink down, trying to tough it out through self-knowledge, various ways to get sober, and he could not do it. So before he went into his third visit into Towns Hospital, he was sat in his house, and I'm going to explain a couple of things where Bill took step one and Bill started to understand that there was a solution to the problem that centers in our mind, because our mind will justify that next drink for any and all reason, any excuse. A million alibis is what we talk about in AA. Any reason I'm going to take that next drink. And when I take that next drink, I'm going to blame the wife and the kids and the children. I'm going to blame the workplace. It's never my fault. I can never see the truth in how I'm drunk, right? So I'm going to read a little bit about what Bill went through and what he was feeling. It says on page 8 in his story, it says, no words can tell of the loneliness and despair that I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. I've been there. I've been that self-pitious person. I've been in that bitter morass, that sand pit from hell that I can't escape from. He said, quicksand stretched around me in all directions. He couldn't find a way out. He had no solution to the problem that centered in his mind because he kept relapsing. And he kept drinking exactly like I did, exactly like the newcomers, exactly like the relapses. He said, I'd met my match. I've been overwhelmed. Alcohol was my master because I'd lost the power of choice. I couldn't stop and I couldn't stay stopped. And once I started, I couldn't control the amount I took. I was powerless over alcohol. And Bill knew that. He said, trembling, I stepped from the hospital, a broken man, his second visit. Fear sobered me for a bit because he was too scared to take a drink. So he toughed it out with untreated alcoholism. He never found a solution to the problem. And he was biting his fingers on fear to keep him sober, right? He said, then come the insidious insanity of that first drink. And on Armistice Day, 1934, I was off again. He relapsed, right? Like we hear the newcomers. Everyone become resigned to the certainty that I'd have to be shut up somewhere or I'd stumble along to the end to a miserable end, which means we're going to die. We're going to die drunk. And we didn't get put on this planet to be beat by an illness of sentence in our mind that we can't overcome. So in AA, we have a solution, and we're going to get into that in step two in a second. He said, how dark it is before the dawn. In reality, that was the beginning of my last debauch or drunk. I was soon to be catapulted what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. The fourth dimension of existence means we get freedom from the booze. We get freedom from self. We recover from alcoholism. I introduced myself as a recovered alcoholic because I found the power that I never had to stop me drinking on my own willpower because I couldn't manage it on my own. Step one, I couldn't do it. I was powerless over booze, and I kept repeating the same thing over and over and over. I was powerless. And what Bill talks about is when he applied the solution and went through the 12 steps, he was catapulted into the fourth dimension, a freedom from it, a freedom that he never, ever knew. And that's my experience. He said, I also know happiness, peace, and usefulness in the way of life, which is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. The more sober I become, the better it becomes. The more sober I become, the more spiritually connected I get, the easier life is. Solving life problems is easy when we have a solution to the problem that centers in my mind that's going to control me and put me back to taking a drink, therefore relapsing. It says, near the end of that bleak November, I sat drinking in my kitchen. With a certain satisfaction, I reflected there was enough gin concealed about the house to carry me through the next night and the next day. My wife was at work, and I wondered whether I dare hide a full bottle of gin in the head of the bed, because I would need it for daylight. He was a chronic drunk. He could not stop. He never knew an answer or a solution. He understood the problem that he got. He says, my musing was interrupted by the telephone. The cheery voice of an old school friend asked if he might come over. He was sober. Ebby Thatcher was his best friend at school. And Ebby was a chronic drunk. And Bill always said, if I ever get that bad, you best lock me up. And Ebby phoned him up sober. Bill couldn't believe that this guy had found a solution to the problem that Bill couldn't find, that Bill couldn't understand, because Bill kept relapsing over and over, right? He said, it's years since I could remember him coming to New York in that condition, sober, right? I was amazed. Rumor had it he'd been committed for alcoholic insanity. I'd wondered how he'd escaped, because we want to know if there's an answer. Is there a solution to the problem that sentence in my mind? Step two. Step two is the solution, right? He says, of course he would come over. Sorry, I wondered how he'd escaped. Of course he would have dinner, and then I could drink openly with him. Bill said, unmindful of his welfare. Bill didn't care about it. He wanted to recapture the old times in the past and then take a drink and celebrate with Ebby and get Ebby drunk. And Ebby said, there was a time when we chartered an airplane to complete a jag or a drunk. His coming was an oasis in this dreary desert of futility, the very thing oasis drinkers are like that. And then Ebby turned up. Now, Ebby's armed with the facts. Ebby has recovered from alcoholism. Bill has no way out, no escape, a bit like the new people, right? He says the door opened, he stood there, fresh skinned and glowing. And this is what I see in Frank. Frank is my sponsor. When I saw Frank a long time, he was fresh skinned and glowing. He was a guy that was armed with the facts, with the solution to the problem that I couldn't solve, because I can't do it on my own, right? He said there was something about his eyes. He was inexplicably different. What had happened? Bill wanted to know, how did he sober up? What was the solution that Ebby had found he had applied in his life that Bill couldn't do? He said, I pushed a drink across the table. He refused it, disappointed but curious. I wondered what would go into the fellow. He wasn't himself, because Bill always knew Ebby was a chronic alcoholic. He kept repeating the experiment of that first drink, always getting drunk. He said, come, what's all this about? I queried. He looked straight at me, simply but smiling. And Ebby said to Bill, I've got religion. He's found a power greater than himself through God, through whatever choice that we choose to pick, a power greater than ourselves. Ebby had found the answer to the solution, and Bill didn't like that. What Bill said was, he said, come, what's all this about? I queried. He looked straight at me, simply smiling, and he said, I've got religion. Bill said, I was aghast, because Bill didn't want to believe in God. Bill was never brought up with God. So he resisted it. He didn't want to believe in that. He didn't want to believe in that solution. He said, so that was it. Last time an alcoholic crackpot, now I suspected a little cracked about religion. He said he had the starry-eyed look. Yes, the old boy was on fire, right? But bless his heart, let him do his rant. Besides, my tune would last longer than his preaching. And the killer thing was this next sentence. He said, but Ebby did no ranting. What Ebby done was he laid out a spiritual toolkit, a program of action, in which Bill followed, and Bill then recovered from alcoholism. Step two isn't about God. It's about a willingness to believe. So when we approach the newcomer and we're armed with the facts and we explain step one and we lay out the spiritual toolkit, if you follow this path, you're going to find the power that's going to solve the problem. Now, when I come to AA, believe me, I never believed in God. That wasn't my plan. I went into rehab for 3 months. I thought we'd go to rehab and just go back to where I come from and things would be great. But I realized I suffered with an illness that only a spiritual experience can conquer. And I didn't like that. And we have a chapter in the book called We Agnostics. And We Agnostics means without knowledge of God or without knowledge of the power. I was not ignorant, just didn't understand it. So if I didn't understand it, I didn't want to understand it. I didn't want to learn about it. So when the guys come and explain to me, Keith, it's about willing to believe. Are you willing to go to any lengths to get a spiritual experience? And my question would be, what's any lengths? Many people come to AA and they do one steps one, two, and three. They don't go through the rest of the program. They never find the power. They never solve the problem. And they relapse. They relapse over and over. And frequently we bury people in AA because they're not willing to do the work. When people come to us and we take them for the program, it's 6 weeks. It's not a 6 month to go through 12 steps. It's 6 weeks. We smash in step one so you fully understand what the problem is. If you understand what the problem is, we can go to the spiritual solution. It's about a willingness to believe. We have another part. I'm going to read another little part out. And on page 17, it says this in the book. It says, the tremendous fact for every one of us, not some of us, for every single one of us in AA that are willing to do the work, a fact is a truth. A tremendous fact for every one of us is that we've discovered a common solution. We all found the power. We all solved that powerless problem, because on my own power, I can't stop. So I had to have God's help. That's the how and why of it. If I need God's help to find the power, if it's a choice between finding God or dying, I think I'm going to go with God. Because I didn't come to AA to die drunk. I come to AA to find out what was wrong and what can I do about it, and how am I going to apply that into my life. He says, we have a way out which we can absolutely agree, and Frank will back me up. We have a solution which we can absolutely agree 100%. If you follow the path with a willingness and a desperation of drowning men, you too will recover. You too will find that power, because the power is about seeking the power. We go through the program to find the power, to seek the power that we lack. We can join in brotherly and harmonious action, the fellowship. It's love, brotherly love. We're all brothers and sisters. It's harmonious action. We're here to support each other and to carry each other. That's how it works. This is the great news this book carries for those that suffer with alcoholism, which is the mind and body. When I first heard about the solution, the willingness to change, step two isn't about God, right? People get really confused about step two is about God. It's about just a willingness to believe. There's a path to be followed, and if you follow the path, follow the suggested steps, you too will recover. But you've got to be willing to do the work. You've got to put the action in to get it. Nothing in this world is free. Let me tell you, nothing is free. We have contributions to AA for our service members. Everything we do has a price to pay. And it talks about our self-centeredness. We have to crush our own ideas, because I can't run my life on my will, on my ideas. And when I come to AA and I sat in the meetings and I listened to everybody share, and I sat there and I thought, I want what they got, because I can't stay sober on my own. I listened to people share and they was happy and they was joyous and they were free and they were full of love and full of spirit. And I was sat shaking in the corner. What am I going to do? My hands under my arse cheeks to keep me from picking up that next drink. How am I going to do it? How am I going to stop? What am I going to do about it? And I had to find a sponsor. I had to find a sponsor that would take me through a program. I'm going to read another part out of the book, and it's page 25. So when I'm sitting on page, I've gone through step one, because there's two questions. On the bottom of 25, he said we had two alternatives. Not a choice, because we lost the power of choice. On the bottom of 25, it tells me we have two alternatives. I have a guy that's armed with the facts. He's ready to take me through the program of action. He's got the solution. He's armed with the facts. I either go on to the bitter end, blotting out the intolerable existence as best I can, and die drunk, because that's the truth. If I don't apply the program, I'm going to relapse. For us to relapse is to die, and the time or place will come. I either go on to the bitter end, blotting out the intolerable existence as best. And let me tell you, in the days of drunkenness, I never thought it was that bad. Well, I can get by, and it ain't that bad, and wife's on my case a little bit. And it was all right, because I had a coping mechanism of how to get through with alcoholism. But I never knew the day of death was coming. And the other alternative was to accept spiritual help. As soon as that spiritual stuff come up, it was like antagonism, hold up. I'm in a cult here. We're all going to chant about God. We're all going to hold hands in a circle and all pray to God. And that wasn't my thing. But I was desperate. I was dying of untreated alcoholism. I saw people around me that was armed with the facts, that had the solution to recover, that had got their lives back on track, that were enjoying life. And I'm chewing my fingernails off, clucking for the next drink. What am I going to do? And they lay out the spiritual toolkit. Keith, we have a solution. We have a program of action. In AA, we start with belief. When I met Frank and I saw Frank and he was armed with the facts, I believed it because I saw it. I believed it because he was suited up with a tie and he was talking the right stuff. He was talking about spiritual progress and he was laying out a spiritual toolkit. And he had all this stuff together. It was all complete. And I was a mess. And what am I going to do about it? And I asked him to sponsor me. He lays down his conditions. You come to my house on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we're going to go through the book. And we're going to recover you from alcoholism. Is that what you want to do? Or do you want to go on to the bitter end, blotting out your crap life as best you could, and die as a result of it? I didn't want to die when I come to AA. I come to AA because I wanted to live. I wanted to see my kids grow up and my grandkids grow up. I was willing to go to any length, God or no God. I couldn't give a sugar. I couldn't give a sugar what it took. So they told me, Keith, you have to pray. I didn't like that neither. I had to pray. I had to ask for help. Let me tell you something. God isn't that rude that he's going to interrupt your life and take over. You have to be willing to do it, willing to want it. We have prayers throughout the book. So I go to my bathroom and I lock my door and I get on my knees and I ask God, please God, help. I can't do it anymore. I felt alone inside. I didn't feel complete. I had that hole in the soul. I didn't know what I was going to do next. And we have a course of action. And when I started going through that step two and I started to understand step two, I started to understand there's a solution, there's a path to follow. And Sharon read it out. We have Alcoholics Anonymous and more than 100 men and women that have recovered. We found the power. How did you find the power? We followed the path laid out. And when you open your title book, your first page of your book, the title page, it says the story of. The story of is in our different italics. It's three little words, a different bold text to the rest. The story is the path. The story is the program, the solution to alcoholism. Come join us on the Broad Highway. Come do what you've got to do. Let's get some service and get you busy. Let's get in the trenches and work with a newcomer. Because when you've gone through step one, you're able to work with a newcomer and say, this is what I did. This is the willingness I've got. On page 45, it gives us on page 45, it tells us what the problem is. It says lack of power. That's my dilemma. I had to find a power which I could live by. Why? Because my power can't work. If my power could keep me sober, I wouldn't be sitting on Zoom. Let me tell you that. I wouldn't be on Zoom. I wouldn't be doing AA meetings and sponsoring. I wouldn't do that. But I can't do it on my power. I have to find a God. I have to find a power, whatever that power is. Lack of power is my dilemma, is my problem, because I'm powerless. I'm without power. So if I'm powerless, the solution will be power. It asked me one question on page 47. It says, Keith, are you willing to believe or do you now believe that a power can solve your problem? And when I listen to Frank, and when I listen to people, the talk about the program of action, the talk about being sober and being recovered and getting their fourth dimension of existence, getting their life back. Sure, I'm going to want it.
2 minutes.
Sure, I'm going to, thank you. That was quick. Sure, I'm going to go to any lengths. Two alternatives. You either do it or you don't. Bill Wilson, I'm going to flick back. Bill Wilson would take the guys. They get the guys in the early days, a bit before my time, 1939. Maybe a couple of years. And he would sit down with them and he would take them, start going through the program and he'd start reading the book. And they'd get to step three and they'd have to make a decision. And when they said, well, I'm not really sure of it, Bill, he'd throw the book in the bin and send them on their way because they wasn't willing enough. They're not ready to do the work. Not everybody in AA is willing to do the work. I use the Nike motto and I just do it. I just get busy. I get the newcomer. I take you by the hand and I lead you for the program of action. If you're willing in step two to seek the escape with the desperation of drowning men, life or death choice, we're going to do the work. And I won't back out. We're going to get you through the program. We're going to recover you and find the power that you lack. You can go hop, skip and jump and live your life and live with the fairies. I'm done. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so much, Keith. I was riveted. I thought I was going to forget to chair the meeting. I was so into it.